What if your next health tracker wasn't on your wrist, but under your skin? And what if it was for everyone, not just people with diabetes? The market for continuous glucose monitors is projected to hit $15 billion by 2026, and the battle for this new wellness frontier is heating up. But is the technology ready for prime time? And more importantly, who will pay for it? That's what we're tracking this week on Troy Technical Intelligence. Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly briefing on the technology driving global industry. I'm your host, Susie, and with me is our expert analyst, Troy.
Good to be here, Susie.
This week, we're diving deep into the wearable biosensor revolution. First, we'll look at the market titans, Dexcom and Medtronic, as they expand their glucose monitoring empires beyond the traditional diabetes market. Then, we'll explore the next frontier, non-invasive monitoring. A breakthrough from MIT promises a future without needles, but major U.S. insurers are already pushing back. Finally, we'll zoom out to the broader point-of-care testing landscape, where new FDA guidance could reshape the entire diagnostic device market. Let's start with the big players, Troy. Dexcom made several major announcements this week. What's the strategy here?
Dexcom is executing a significant pivot from being a diabetes device manufacturer to becoming a comprehensive connected health platform. They announced their next-gen G8 monitor, but the real story is their expansion into new markets. They're launching Stelo, a glucose biosensor specifically for non-insulin-using type 2 diabetics and even pre-diabetics.
So Stelo is their play for the mainstream wellness market, not just clinical diabetes.
Exactly. And it's backed by strong performance, with a 13% Q2 revenue growth and a landmark FDA approval for Stelo as the first over-the-counter CGM for pediatric use. They were also selected as the first participant in the FDA's Tempo program, which is designed to speed up regulatory pathways for digital health tech.
What does this aggressive expansion mean for U.S. and European medical device manufacturers?
It's a direct challenge. Dexcom is creating a new over-the-counter category and building a powerful ecosystem around it. European and U.S. competitors are now under immense pressure to develop their own OTC biosensors or risk being locked out of a massive new consumer health market. It also creates new supply chain demands for microelectronics, advanced hydrogels, and high-volume sterile packaging.
And how was their chief rival, Medtronic, responding?
Medtronic is focusing on strengthening its core market. They just launched their new Simplera Sync sensor in South Korea for users of their MiniMed 780G automated insulin delivery system. It's an all-in-one disposable sensor, about half the size of their previous models, with a simplified two-step insertion process. Their strategy is to reduce patient burden and lock in users to their integrated system.
So for Western trading companies and distributors, what's the key takeaway from these moves?
For distributors, the choice is between an open or a closed ecosystem. Medtronic's Simplera Sync is tied to its own insulin pump, creating a walled garden. Dexcom's Stelo is aiming for a broader, standalone consumer market. Trading companies must decide which strategy to support. Medtronic's launch in South Korea also highlights the country as a critical manufacturing and logistics hub for advanced medical devices in the Asia-Pacific region.
Okay, so what's the actionable insight for an executive watching this play out?
Executives must benchmark their 5-year product roadmap against this consumerization of medical-grade sensors. You need to ask, can our existing technology be adapted for an over-the-counter wellness market? If the answer is no, you should be exploring partnerships or acquisitions immediately, because Dexcom has just gained a significant first-mover advantage.
Troy, all these devices still involve a sensor under the skin. The holy grail has always been non-invasive monitoring. I saw a major announcement from MIT on that front.
That's right. Researchers at MIT have developed a non-invasive continuous glucose monitor based on Raman spectroscopy. It uses a laser directed at the skin to estimate glucose concentration from the vibrational information of biomolecules. No needles. Early tests show its accuracy is comparable to current commercial invasive devices.
That sounds revolutionary. What does this mean for manufacturers today? Is their current technology about to become obsolete?
Not yet. We are realistically years away from commercialization. This technology needs large-scale clinical trials and regulatory approval. But for U.S. and European manufacturers, this is a critical technology to monitor. It could eventually render entire subcutaneous sensor production lines obsolete.
the core competency would shift from biocompatible materials to advanced optical engineering and miniaturized spectroscopy.
So the tech is promising, but I hear the market itself is already putting up roadblocks.
That's the crucial counterpoint. On August 1st, United Healthcare, one of the largest U.S. insurers, updated its medical policy. It explicitly classifies all non-invasive CGM devices as unproven and not medically necessary due to a lack of sufficient scientific evidence. This is a massive barrier to market access.
So even if a company develops a perfect non-invasive sensor, insurers might not pay for it. What should trading companies and distributors know?
This creates a severe market timing problem. They should not invest heavily in distributing non-invasive devices until a clear reimbursement pathway exists. The UHC decision is a powerful signal that the lucrative U.S. market will not cover this technology for the foreseeable future, even with FDA approval. The focus for sales and distribution must remain on proven, reimbursed subcutaneous models.
What is the actionable insight here for an executive?
Implement a dual-track R&D strategy. Continue to iterate and improve your existing invasive sensor technology for the current paying market. In parallel, dedicate a separate skunkworks-style team to non-invasive technologies. And critically, your regulatory and market access teams must engage with payers like United Healthcare now to understand their evidence requirements. Technical success without a reimbursement strategy is a commercial failure.
We focused heavily on glucose, but this is clearly part of a much bigger trend in diagnostics.
Absolutely. This all falls under the umbrella of point-of-care testing, or POCT. The recent Medica 2026 exhibition in Germany showcased the key technologies driving this: high-performance biosensors, imaging AI, and lab-on-a-chip systems. The strategic goal is to decentralize diagnostics, moving them from a central lab to the patient's bedside, a local clinic, or even their home.
How does this decentralization specifically affect U.S. and European manufacturers?
It's a fundamental business model shift. It creates opportunities to develop smaller, faster, and more user-friendly diagnostic devices. Competition is no longer just about analytical accuracy. It's about usability, connectivity, and data security. We're seeing the technological foundation for this with things like graphene field effect transistor biosensors, which are showing the ability for ultra-sensitive, label-free detection of biomarkers for cancer and infectious diseases.
With new technology, always comes new regulation. I understand the U.S. FDA is making moves here.
It is. On August 2nd, the FDA released new draft guidance for in vitro diagnostic devices, which directly targets POCT. For any new submissions after October 2026, the agency will require more stringent clinical performance validation data. They will be evaluating not just accuracy, but also robustness across diverse usage environments and usability by non-expert users.
What do trading companies and distributors need to know about this new guidance?
They need to prepare for a potential slowdown in new POCT product approvals as manufacturers adjust. They must rigorously vet the regulatory strategies of their manufacturing partners. A product whose development plan doesn't account for this new FDA framework is a very high-risk investment. The barrier to market entry in the U.S. is officially being raised.
So, the final actionable insight for executives on this front?
Immediately conduct a gap analysis of your current regulatory and clinical trial capabilities against this new FDA draft guidance. The demand for robust data on clinical utility and real-world performance is increasing significantly. If your R&D process isn't designed to generate this evidence from the very beginning, your time to market for new point-of-care devices will be severely delayed.
Fantastic analysis, Troy. Let's distill this down. What are the three key strategic takeaways for our listeners this week?
First, the consumerization of medical devices is accelerating. The line between a clinical tool and a wellness gadget is blurring, with Dexcom's over-the-counter Stelo leading the charge. Executives must decide if they are competing in a high-volume consumer market or a specialized medical one. You cannot succeed in both without a deliberate, distinct strategy.
And the second point?
Second, innovation is outpacing reimbursement. Breakthrough technology like MIT's non-invasive sensor is exciting, but the United Healthcare decision proves that market access is the true gatekeeper. Technical success without a clear reimbursement strategy is a commercial failure. The focus must be on generating the clinical and economic evidence that payers demand.
And finally?
Third, the regulatory bar is rising for point-of-care testing. The FDA's new draft guidance signals a new reality. Simply proving a device is accurate is no longer enough. Manufacturers now need robust data on clinical utility and real-world usability. This will separate the serious, long-term players from the hopefuls in the diagnostic market.
That's all the time we have for this week's briefing. Troy, thank you for the sharp analysis.
My pleasure, Susie.
To make sure you never miss an insight, subscribe to Troy Technical Intelligence wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be back next week with another deep dive into the technology shaping your industry. Until then, I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy. Goodbye.